Blog Talk Radio.
Curtis Mayfield had his finger on the pulse of society. Even when we as a people did not know where we were going, Curtis musically led the way. One of my favorite parts in one of his songs said,
"People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me." Oh yeah.
Welcome back to Nation Building Movement Radio. Okay, listen, we're picking up from where we left off last week about this N-word. And unfortunately, our brother Michonne is not going to be here with us, but you know, he's been getting a lot of press and even some flack about some comments that he made responding to this chief executive officer, whoever he was, of Papa John's Pizza. So we're back to kind of finish up the discussion about the N-word, which I don't have to tell you what that word is. But this time, I titled the show calling it Redistribute the Pain. Excuse me. Okay. I'm struggling through some tonsillitis, so bear with me. So not so much, I don't want to so much deal with the argument about what is culturally correct or whatever, but I want to deal with how businesses handle us and how we continue to patronize those businesses with our dollars. And so somebody told me, like, black money matters too. Well, that's true. I can go along with that. But at the end of the day, it's the green that matters. And so if they are coming into our communities and if they are taking away our economic power, our economic resources, then I think it's time for us to kind of revert back to what Dr. Martin Luther King was trying to teach us about redistributing the pain, meaning that if this is such a capitalistic society, then we need to capitalize off our own economic growth and development, our own economic abilities, and redistribute the pain by not patronizing them, but building businesses for ourselves. And so that is kind of the subject line I want to take tonight when we're talking about redistributing the pain. We have long complained about how other ethnic groups come into our communities and, they build businesses and then they don't give anything back to our community. Sometimes they won't even give us a job. So when you look at the corner stores and when you look at the cleaners and when you look at the fast food restaurants or the what they call the elite restaurants, you'll have an Italian restaurant, you'll have a Indian restaurant, you'll have a French restaurant, and everybody is in business for themselves except us. And that is something that we are totally in control of. If we will only take the initiative and not fall into the psyche behind having to go out and spend our monies on things that are totally unnecessary. Like, for instance, you don't have to eat Popeye's chicken if you like Popeye's chicken. If you want to know how to cook Popeye's chicken, get you some rosemary and some cayenne and some salt and pepper and fry it up, and I'm pretty sure it will taste just like Popeye's chicken. We don't need to go out to restaurants to have fancy meals. We can go to the grocery store, and even though that is not ours, we can redistribute the pain and stop running to these areas of convenience. Because when you look at a great deal of our monies, a great deal of our monies are spent on fast foods and fast services. So we go to the gas station, we go to the convenience stores, we go to the drug stores, but we go to Popeyes, we go to Sonic, we go to Taco Bell, we go to Whataburger, we go to Burger King, we go to Jack in the Box. And these are a lot of things in our community, a lot of businesses in our community, and Starbucks and Papa John's and Pizza Hut and all them too, that we patronize all the time. And I'm just imagining that if for 1 month even, if we did not eat any fast food, not one bit, of how much money we would actually save. And that money can be rerouted into our communities. So listen, I'm really struggling with my voice, but I'm hoping I can get some help out here. But if anybody has a question or comment thus far, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad, and I will take your call. But I really want to talk about how can we redistribute the pain, and what are some of the easy ways that we can redistribute the pain. We can't stop buying gas. I get that. You know, we can't stop making groceries, but there is a way that we can minimize the amount of food and the amount of money that we buy. There is another way that we can help support other businesses of African ethnicity by looking up Black-owned companies that provide services and goods. I don't know if Freedom Paper Company is still in business, but that was a paper company that could furnish, you know, your toiletries, your paper towels and things like that, trash bags and things of that nature. But there are still little things that we can do that make a big impact. So let me see if I can get some help. Brother Gene, can you help me out tonight?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Okay, fine, ma'am. I knew you would call me out. I mean, I knew you would call me out. I understand that your voice is a little, you know, scratchy, but my question to the listening audience, what is it going to take? I mean, what is it going to take for us to come to realize that the clock is ticking for Black people here in America? The clock is ticking. You know, we've been over the years, you know, we've been talking about this and many, many conversations on redistributing the pain. And as you mentioned, we have to just go in our surrounding areas take the time. See, that's another thing that we as a people have a problem with. We don't want to take time. I mean, all citizens of America has pretty much become lazy. You know, we want it in an instant, but taking the time to search for the, you know, the Black-owned gas station and start patronizing and forces what you're talking about, the Popeyes, the chicken and all that. I mean, but my main question is, what is it going to take for us to come together? And the only solution I have is that we got to begin feeding our people like babies. You can't give a baby solid food when it's born. And that's the approach that we're going to have to take on this. And we're going to have to bring them all on one accord and really teach them and educate them on what the time and what must be done. We're living in a critical hour. You know, mm-hmm. You look at, you know, the movie came out. What was the movie came out that we went and spent billions of dollars on in a 2-week
period?
Black Panther. Do you realize, Black people, $2 billion in 2 weeks, you know how many schools, magnet schools we could have opened? You know how many business districts we could have opened just in 2 weeks? In 2 weeks. And I submit to this listening audience, we have got to seize the moment. I mean, the clock is ticking. There's some very, very critical things that's going down in America, and we just got to unlearn to relearn. We really got to grasp a hold of what we're doing. Is we're already at the bottom of the list. You know, you got the Hispanics coming over, and nothing against Hispanics, but they're dominating the Black population. I mean, you got something like 57 million Hispanics here. You know, Black people are falling at the bottom of the list, and we can't look to politicians to change this. We have literally got to come under one accord and actually be baby fed and retaught all over again, because the way of life and this extra, I haven't seen brothers, you know, it's just amazing that the things that we're doing that has no significant value, But you have my take on the N-word. I mean, the N-word, it doesn't bother me because it's not a scientific word. And most of the Europeans who use that word, if you notice, majority of them that use that word often are poor whites. It's just poor whites. So it's not a scientific word to me. So it don't bother me. And it just, I don't take no offense to it.
Well, the reason why last week we talked about America's businesses is because you have people like that guy John Shatner who actually take black dollars, so to speak, for granted, meaning that, see, there's a history and there is an education that some of these people have when it comes to what they call the black economic power base. And what they're taught is that we have nowhere to go. And what they're taught is that they can establish services and goods and all kinds of businesses in our communities because we, quote, unquote, have no choice. So when this is the thinking, this is the slap in the face from him that, you know, he didn't care if niggas bought it anyway. And the reason why he say that is because, and then he went on further to say, Brother Gene, that he didn't meet too much resistance from the leadership. Now, focus on the word. He said he met no resistance from the leadership in the African American community about his expression. You know what that tells me? That tells me two things. That tells me that he has the mindset that we have nowhere to go economically, meaning that we don't have enough sense to keep our dollars in our pockets because we're going to we're going to patronize them anyway. Second of all, it tells me that we don't have any leadership.
Exactly.
Those are two disturbing factors in our communities today.
Yeah. And he was absolutely right. I mean, the leadership, we don't have leadership. I mean, real, true justice leadership, we just don't have it. And that's why we as a people, we have to come together under one accord and follow these steps. We've got to come together and as people power, no matter what your religion is, or anything, we've got to come together because the reason I said is that your children's lives depend on the decision that you make and the decision that you need to make. Your children's lives are going to depend on it. What sense would it make to bring in new generations that's going to have to suffer 20 to 30 times less than where we're suffering today? We have no true leadership. I mean, they just, you know, we have misrepresentation of leadership, and they just, we got to hold our leadership accountable. And if you can't, you know, lead the people in the right direction, a lot of them are just, especially these politicians, you know, the politicians, they just don't understand. I mean, everybody, and another reason, we're in the condition because the leadership, I don't know why black people are so stronghold on the Democratic Party and Democrats. You know, you got big elections going or coming up. We got them coming in my hometown. You know, we've got to go and be educated on what we're doing. I'm not saying I'm a Republican or you should vote Republican, or we got to become independent thinkers and go towards the part that is right. You know, as the old saying was, always popular and always was right. And was always right was not popular.
Exactly. And the thing about it also is this, Brother Gene, you know, we are in such a sad state when it comes to holding our elected officials accountable. And these are people who hold prominent positions, and they make some of them make up to millions of dollars a year just by holding on to those positions that we automatically elect them in based on the color of their skin. And we are people who have experienced prejudices on all levels, and we are exacting the same prejudice on other people that has been exacting on us. But here's the thing. We want to invest in our own, and we want to support our own, but how many years that we have to look in the faces of those that are so-called our own that are not supporting us, that are not advocating for us, that are not representing us, and we got them up there based on the color of their skin and on the lie that they're saying that they're representing us. I don't see any evidence of that representation. So when he said, and that really struck a chord with me, it really stuck in my craw when he said that he didn't hear any opposition from the black leadership. And I'm trying to figure out who in the hell is he referring to. And you know what really made me mad about that is the fact that I got to sit around and figure out who was he referring to. Because there was a time, Brother Gene, where I could say, yeah, we have you know, leaders in our community, and this one is a leader, and that one is a leader, and that one represents us, and that one stands for us. I can't say that no more, can you?
No, because here's the thing. I mean, I'm gonna take it to the politician standpoint and the civic leaders, the church leaders. We're starting with the politicians. Is that how can a politician go to the House of Representatives, whether it be your state representatives, your congressmen, your senators, how can they go and say that they represent you when you as a people has not organized and mobilized and strategized and tell them what to go in there and how to represent you? So how can they go in there without an agenda from the people? Go in there and all the constituents around them in the room or Europeans. So how can they go in there and represent you as a people when you didn't even give them an agenda or any idea of what you want and what you stand for? So what do you have when they go in? You have somebody just there going along with the program to get a check and go along with the program because we didn't send them in with an agenda. I mean, just like, you know, the statement Obama made. I mean, I'm going from the top living leadership. You know, we have got to stop living vicariously through. We had a black president. That just was 8 years of a feel-good moment because President Obama was issued and sent to him a 19-page document saying that this is what black folks need. This is what the urban community, you have to make us a protected people. When the Asians and Arabs and all of them come over, they're not even considered it. They told them, we don't want to be put in the class with black people. We don't want to be minorities. We don't want nothing to do with their, you know, background. They're considered, when they come in here, they're considered white. Asians and Arabs, when they come to this country, they are considered. They are not even considered as minority because they made it known. But we really got to mobilize and organize and then strategize and hold our politicians accountable. And of course, the civic leaders, everybody is so easy to be bought with a damn dollar. You know, it's just so easy for them to be bought with a dollar. I mean, that's their main focus, and they're not standing up for the people. I mean, it just, you know, when they're bought for a dollar, certain things that they can say and certain things that they can do. But it's going to be up to the people to really, really come. People power is more, is worth more than anything.
Exactly. And that's why you don't hear, when this was such a national scandal, that's why you don't hear the so-called African-American leaders raising hell about this white executive of this corporation using the N-word. That's why it's becoming so commonplace and so damn acceptable amongst us that we almost accept it, almost. And it's like, it's all because that company made a donation, or that company is friends with this senator, and I don't want to ruffle his feathers. And it's like, our pride and our dignity and our integrity has always been for sale. And I'm like, when are we going to get price tags off our asses and say that some things are not for sale? Our dignity and our pride and our respect and our integrity are not for sale. You're not going to call me a nigger and then take my damn money. That's not going to happen. And when more people get the idea that all of this stuff that you're really buying into, it's really an addiction. And I don't want to get scientific on nobody, but McDonald's got something in their shit. Burger King got something in their shit. Everybody got something in their food that's making people go crazy and say, oh, man, I got to have me some of this. I got to have me some of that. And people might say one thing don't connect with the other, but it does, because these are all corporations that are run by people who feel the same way that he do. And just because we think it's culturally acceptable to use the N-word, or we think it's cool nowadays, or whatever, it's not cool anymore. You know, it's not cool anymore.
And they have studied the black man and woman. They have studied black people, and to for him to be able to feel that he can get away with something like that because he studied us. He know how divisive we are. He know that we're the biggest consumers. So, you know, you can say what you want. These folks has been educated. You know, everybody looks down on the black man and woman, you know. And we really, really, really got to make some changes, and make some changes fast. They know that we are the biggest consumers. They know that we're going to continue on. I'm not saying that the Europeans don't eat Domino's. I never care for Domino's. Not saying that they don't eat it, but they know that we can do anything, and that's a bad position to be in for any people to think of you that we can do anything that we want to do. They still gonna, you know, be at the bottom of the list. They still gonna continue on doing what they're doing, and they could continue on, you know, coming patronizing us. And this is how they think, and we gotta change.
Absolutely.